Strap yourself in,
because we're set up, switched on, and ready to go.
Yes, sir. Reading you loud and clear. Clear. The clock has started.
Episode of our podcast. Today we are going to interview some of the greatest and most influential minds in our field. By sharing our collective expertise, we will show you how to harness, control, and use your own skill set to achieve ultimate success and live the life you want. And now, please welcome your host.
Good day, everyone. This is Dennis Cater. Welcome to the Smallscast podcast. And this week's a little different. Our normal moderator, Nate, is not here today. He's actually returning from a business trip, and you can hear about that. He was out at Dell World this week, and you can listen to the podcast that we're going to be broadcasting to learn more about Dell World and what that entails and his adventures out there in Las Vegas, Nevada. Excuse me. This week, I am joined with Jason, or JD Danielli. He is the CEO and president of Giuseppe Space. Welcome, JD.
Thanks, Dennis. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, this is exciting. We've been trying to coordinate this for a bit now, I know. We've been chatting off and on, probably about 6 months now, I think.
I think going on at least 5 or 6 months.
Yeah.
It's hard when you're a new entrant in the space industry and you're doing a little bit more without the entire team.
But you are not new. So let's, before we go there, so Giuseppe Space, one, I like the name. We can start there. Where's that?
So Giuseppe is actually my great grandfather who came to Boston back in the late 30s.
Oh.
So I'm third generation Italian American immigrant.
Nice. Yeah. So you went with your grandfather's name.
I did. I went with his name because he was the first.
Is that a first name or a last name?
That was actually his first name.
That's his first name.
So it's
Giuseppe Danielli?
Danielli. So it's Italian version for Joseph.
Yeah.
And he was really our inspiration for our entire family tree, being the first Italian immigrant at the age of 16 and just doing several entrepreneur efforts from shining shoes to delivering newspapers.
The whole immigrant story is very fascinating, right? I mean, like you said, he came at 16. I'm actually first generation American. My mom and dad both came over in their 20s. Actually, my mom younger. It's an interesting story, these things that people did and do still today, right? Immigrants, they kind of make things happen and bring a whole nother dynamic to culture, I think.
Yeah, they bring innovation, passion, drive to succeed.
Yeah,
and wanting to make a better life for not only themselves but the people that work with them.
Right, kind of like you in Giuseppe Space.
I appreciate that. Yeah, so it was a no-brainer for me when I was going through the list of
kind of names,
catchy names, and what would speak to industry, and I really thought that Giuseppe would be one of those names that
it's definitely catchy. I remember it.
It has a flair to it,
yeah.
And I think it's something that if you hear it once, you'll know it's a name of distinction.
Right. No, I like it. Okay, yeah, so let's talk about what is Giuseppe Space. So tell us what you guys do.
So Giuseppe Space, what we're trying to invoke upon the space industry is a enterprise one-stop shop for anything that you want to do in the space industry. So from your requirements, what you may need for the warfighter, or if you want to diverse and go down with the space portfolio and architect how to get there, so from point A to point B.
Right. So on the engineering side
of things,
you guys don't develop a product.
Correct. We're not a manufacturer.
Okay.
We manufacture solutions.
I like that.
Right?
Giuseppe Space, manufacturing solutions.
Exactly. So we tout ourselves... we're two sides of the coin. So we're the A&AS side of the coin and also the SC&I.
Okay.
So when there's a solution to be had.
SC&I is
Systems integration. Thank you. Correct.
Engineering and integration.
Yeah. So in
just in case people who are listening don't necessarily know
that's
know
good
acronyms.
Because acronyms are yeah. it's a wave of the GSA.
Right.
So when you see a GSA contract and you're like, okay, what type of team do I need here? Normally the two major contract types, you'll have the system engineering and integration.
Right.
And then the A&AS, which is your advisors.
Yeah, assistance and advisory services.
Correct. Yeah. So those are right now our focus for Giuseppe. But Giuseppe is made from just passionate space professionals that I've had the honor to work with, both in a active duty capacity and in a civilian capacity. So we have folks that are well over 20 years in space operations experience. Other folks that have worked for incredible companies like NASA, JPL, and Raytheon, to name a few, that they've led their industry with regards to their solutions in engineering from robotics all the way down to box level engineering solutions.
And so you said you were in the service. I caught that. So what would you do?
So for 28 years, I was in the Air Force.
Okay.
The first 13 years, I was a medical logistics here.
Oh.
So
there's a whole other career field for you.
There's a whole other logistics.
Medical and space. That's a big thing, man.
Yeah. Someday, maybe when we step foot on the moon and start having a little colony there.
Yeah. Yeah.
They'll need to be.
According to Elon Musk, it's going to happen here real soon.
Yeah, like 2025. I can only hope, because that would be exciting for me as well.
Right.
But yeah, my last duty station was here in Air Force Academy. I was working in the hospital and switched over in 2003. And I had some troops at the time coming up and said, hey, I was Sergeant Danielli at the time. And they're like, hey, sign this paper. And they're like, what for? And he goes, well, I'm going to go work for space. I said, you know, astronaut, what are you doing?
Yeah.
He goes, no, I'm going to go in the mountain. I said, Cheyenne Mountain, you're going to do Stargate stuff? And so from that curiosity, I learned what my fellow coworkers were going into. And then a year and a half later, I followed their footsteps and cross-trained. So I was pretty fortunate. It was meant to be.
Yeah, nice. Yeah that's a whole... whole another career field, really. That's something very different. So what'd you do when you first crossed over?
So when I first crossed over, I was I was actually supposed to go to Thule. And those military folks out there know Thule is a remote assignment, and it's probably not the most fancy assignment.
Thule Greenland.
Yes. And it's not it's not too green.
Yeah.
From what I heard.
Mostly white.
So I, at the time, I talked to the career field manager, and he's like, well, I'm going to put you in Force Ops. And so Force Ops, MILSTAR, which is now flying Vance EHF, was my first space squadron.
Ah, and that's out of Schriever, right?
It's out of Schriever.
Yeah.
The first space commander I had was then Colonel Ronald Huntley, who's now retired a brigadier general.
Right.
And he's also supporting Giuseppe as an executive coach and mentor.
Good.
So it's a small world, but you know, it's just another example of when you come across folks in this space industry, and you know that there's military people out there that
right.
have pioneered some of the technology and the solutions that we're working on today. You want some of that legacy experience on your team
right.
at all cost.
Right. So you're local here, right? You're here in Colorado Springs.
Yes, I just moved back after the pandemic. I was in LA for about 2 years. And then it's just about 14 months ago, I came back to the Springs after being in the Springs for about 21 years, and I'm up in Woodland Park.
Yeah, so you were just talking to me. You've been up in the mountain. We're just going to take a sidebar here,
because sure.
I'm all about being out in the mountain. So where were you?
Yes, I was actually in Sespe Creek. Sespe Creek. It's a reservation national forest just northeast of Ventura, California.
Oh, not here.
Not here.
Oh.
Yeah.
You left. You moved to Colorado, and then you go back to California, go to the wilderness.
Yep.
What's wrong with you?
I know. I got an invite I couldn't turn down.
There you go. If you're going with somebody, that's a good deal.
It was a good 35-mile hike, basically.
You went backpacking?
Backpacking.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, which is different because I'm a hunter, so
backpackers,
their size and weight, they try to skinny that down, where I'm all about my
carrying
tools,
gear.
My gear, my tech gadgets, my solar array panels for my phones and all the good stuff. And, and so it, one thing that the heat really played a factor.
Oh, yeah. Is it warmer out there already?
It's a little bit warm. It's about 82, 83.
Oh, yeah.
So when you have a 50-pound pack, that's a little bit significant. I did it purposely to try to train for elk season coming up here in August, but I probably picked the wrong venue.
And you're a little early.
Yeah, the wrong venue. Well, I'm glad I got it in as far as a good practice run, but I learned a lot about the trip.
Well, I'm going in July to do the last piece of the Colorado Trail, July 4th weekend. Okay. So if you're like interested, we'll talk later.
Let's do it.
All right. So anyways, Giuseppe Space.
Yeah, let's talk about space now.
So who are your current customers? Where are you kind of going? What do you think?
Well, right now, this is a good question. So I like to answer it in two parts. Giuseppe is a collection of companies.
Right.
So Giuseppe Space Enterprises is really a holdings group with five companies underneath it.
Oh.
So what we're trying to do is position ourselves so that when the customer has a demand, a need, a requirement, we can go right to the source.
Right.
Where some companies have line of businesses.
Right.
They're all subsidiaries.
Right, right.
So we have an engineering company.
Okay.
Giuseppe Engineering. Giuseppe Civil Space. Giuseppe Joint Ventures. Giuseppe Consulting Group. And then soon we'll have a nonprofit.
So let's talk about those. Engineering, I get. What's the civil space?
Civil space is to support the merger eventually between the military space and the civil space pursuits.
I'm with you. Okay.
Yeah. So what I'd like to do is keep that swim lane a little bit clean.
Yeah.
And so that some of the engineering pieces of that will be tied directly to civil spaceport launch. Now there's a couple of different facets of launch. So there's tourism,
right?
And then there's payload,
right?
So we're going to focus on the payload and helping some of the states out there create an op center. So a lot of the folks on Giuseppe's team right now came from.
You talking about like at spaceports?
Mm-hmm.
Op centers at spaceports.
Correct. Yep. So that's another thing: the oncology of what a spaceport is. Some folks or some states are calling it a space complex.
Yeah.
Some of them are calling it a spaceport.
Right.
Or a space mission center. So,
yes.
So they're all mean the same, I think, but in the future, they'll probably delineate that naming convention based upon what their mission is.
Right.
So if their mission is going to be tourism and that's going to be their niche, then they'll probably shy away from a spaceport and say maybe a space complex.
Yeah, and space complex in a Denver spaceport or Colorado, Spaceport Colorado. It is a spaceport, but it's a space complex, like you mentioned. They're trying to bring in industry there. They actually have Sabre space there where they're testing rocket engines and things like that. And I don't know if you saw, Elon Musk is about to do a test around the world where he's launching and then going around and dropping again. And it's going to be for transportation, whether that means people. Right now, it won't be people. It'll be material equipment.
Sure.
But he's actually testing it. So it's a 90-minute flight around the world. Dropping it again.
That would be quite the system test.
He's doing it from Texas around the world and dropping it in New Mexico.
Oh, okay. So it's pretty much almost the same point of origin.
Almost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which makes sense.
Yeah,
right?
Except he's got to go to Spaceport New Mexico because they've been touting them as the Spaceport America.
True. So, true. Yeah. And it's nice to see all the taglines.
Cause, it is.
I don't want to shy away from it because it's good marketing.
Well, and Galaxy's down, or Virgin Galactic is down there.
That's true.
What's the JV?
So the JV is going to be the international piece.
Okay.
For those companies out there that have cracked that nut, a lot of the international work has specific.
It's international.
Yeah, so mostly international. So with that, starting a company, you want to have those lines of accounting clean from the other businesses.
Right.
So just think of your DCMA audits.
Right.
And different nations might be doing different missions.
Right.
So it's one of those, it's really an organizational
That's method. Actually very good.
Yeah. So we've been talking to folks in JAXA, had a couple conversations with folks during the Satellite 2022 event in DC.
Just a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. So I won't name the companies, but they're, we're talking to folks in Great Britain, Italy, and Bavaria, and hopefully soon maybe in Australia as well.
Okay.
Yeah,
nice.
They're opening up their SATCOM. If you noticed the, probably about 3-4 weeks ago, Australia made a wonderful announcement saying, hey, we're opening the doors. We want to get into this business.
Yeah, that's a pretty big business. And as space grows, again, as you know, there's more and more opportunities there. And then what? Finally, I get the consulting piece. What's the nonprofit?
The nonprofit.
Where are you going with that?
It's almost a passionate endeavor for myself. So being in the military for 28 years, I really couldn't go back to the state of Maine because of the fact that they didn't have that industry. Mostly there's a lot of trades, livelihoods that are in Maine, whether working on houses and the roads and other civil engineering projects. But specifically for space, I think you owe it to the industry to give back a little bit. And so working with some folks like the Space Foundation, Space Force Association, and AFSEA, and those types of groups that are for giving the grants for STEM education.
Correct, yeah.
Giuseppe, we want to start targeting children as early as the fifth grade.
Okay.
And then treat that as kind of like a mentorship program where we help provide them some technical direction and just scratch the itch on where their passions may lie or some of the interests. So some of these kids might not even know what the benefit is in space programs.
Yeah.
And so we want to kind of feed and plant the seeds early.
Yeah, I'm sure they don't know any of that stuff. So.
No, they didn't. I didn't.
Well, let's take a quick pause. We'll take a break. And then we'll be back in just a minute with Giuseppe Space.
All right. Thank you.
This podcast is brought to you by CHAFA, the Colorado Housing and Finance Authority. Since 1974, CHAFA has strengthened Colorado by investing in community development and affordable housing. CHAFA's community development team partners with lenders across the state to offer the financing you need to grow your business. Talk to your local lender about CHAFA's Cash Collateral Support Program, which helps small and medium-sized businesses access capital that would otherwise be unavailable due to collateral shortfalls. To learn more, visit chfainfo.com.
Okay, welcome back, and thank you very much. We are here today with J.D. Danielli. He is the CEO and president of Giuseppe Space. Welcome back, J.D.
Again, thanks, Dennis, for having me. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, I know. It's interesting taking the pauses and stuff because you get in a conversation, and then you're like, oh, wait, we got to do a pause. But it's good to do that. Let's get a drink, too. So
yes.
All right, so we were talking about Giuseppe Space and all the areas you're moving into. What's the one area that you're like most excited about that's kind of getting you going here?
Well, I think I'm most excited of helping the SSC customer.
Okay. Space Support Command out in Los
Space
Angeles.
Out in Los Angeles. They recently transitioned from being the SMC under new leadership with General Guetlein, and they want to do a huge amount of I'd say new approaches on some of the solutions that they've been having.
Right.
Everybody knows about the SMC 2.0.
Right.
And what that did and did not do for the industry. And so where they're going now, I think it's definitely going to have more of an agile, no kidding approach and a focus on some of the solutioning and where they're going to get from A to B.
Right.
And so I really, started out there with some of my previous assignments. I want to try to help finish that up and give them some good help.
So where do you think, a big picture looking at things, where do you see Space Force, SSC in the next 5 years, say? Where do you, they are trying to make some big changes. I think that they're moving in that direction. Is there somewhere that do you think that this is really, they're going to move at the speed of relevance like they'd like to, or, are they still going to get hampered up in some things? Do you think that's going to happen?
It's a good question. It's one of those things that, you look into your crystal ball and you look at the contracts that are being let. It's almost like trying to read the tea leaves.
Yeah.
The intent of the customer is honest and trying to help out the warfighter and the global users. When agencies try to go fast, I think they learn their limitations and they adjust and they mitigate. And so I think in this case, I remember back in the day where they were the industry was kind of afraid to fail.
Right.
And so I think that acceptance on trying again. So fail early,
right?
Fail often, but don't fail on the day of launch, right?
Right, right.
So I think in this next pursuit and some of the objectives of Space Command, I think you'll find yourself trying to help them realize what the requirements are, and then fold in some of the lessons learned over the years past, and then try to move the football.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think that is exactly how it's going to play out here. We also support, my company that I work for also supports a lot of these efforts, and I think things are moving rapidly, and they are moving in the right direction. Yep. But as you said, I think things will, throttle and then go forward again, throttle and go forward. I think that's a good way to look at it for now.
Yeah.
And then on the civil side, you talked about maybe supporting Operations Center or Space Force. Anything else happening out there that you guys are interested in?
Right now in the civil space arena, I think there's technologies that are trying to help what the range and safety is trying to provide. A lot of good stuff going down to AFRL, if I remember some of the news articles, trying to have a biofuel. Yeah. I know that is going to be probably a topic of discussion at many FAA type industry days. So I only hope that the both sides of that industry, not only the provider of suppliers of rocket fuel, but actually the rocket manufacturers themselves, try to retool their the rocket bodies and try to accept some new technology.
Right.
Environmental impacts, I think, will always be in the back of the mind of the states that are trying to adopt a spaceport. They're always trying to mitigate that and make sure there's do no harm, if you will, to the environment.
Right.
So I think that's some of the what I would say the topics and mitigation efforts that will be probably going in the civil space.
So you have really stepped up with Giuseppe Space here recently, right? You're not you're just a couple of years old, right?
Actually, less than a year.
Okay, so
year.
Any lessons learned that you want to share with any of the other small businesses out there about? I mean, you had some background in the military, so you kind of knew government contracting, sort of. But any advice you'd give to, how you get from where you were 6 months ago or a year ago? I'm guessing this has been in your mind for a while.
This has been in my mind probably about the last 5 years.
Okay.
And I was thinking about just starting an LLC and just having one shop with a very niche type of market approach to industry. But if you take a holistic approach of what industry is going, where industry is going, the needs of the industry, and how to best apply some of the people that are wanting to join your team. Slow, it's kind of like the crawl, walk, run type of mentality. But set up the company, I guess the best advice is to set up the company so that your assets are protected. So get a good lawyer.
Your personal assets.
Yeah, personal assets, but also the assets of the company.
Yeah.
So you want to, I look at starting a company as being a captain of a ship.
Yeah.
So that my ship can weather the storm and weather a small battle, if you will, between other companies that, may throw a protest on you or even whether it's, now when I say weather the storm, if you have a dry spell and you're not, pulling in the contracts and you're not making your EBITDA or your revenue stream that you want to either expand or sustain yourself. So I think one of the biggest takeaways with that, once you have your company established, understand what you can bring to the fight. And don't try to do too much too quickly.
Right.
But partnerships is probably the best ally and best offense for a new business. Get in tight with, like, say, 5, maybe 7 companies. Maybe a couple of them would be larges. Other couple would be some of company of your size,
right,
and maybe a mid-sized company. Make it so that the portfolios of all the skill sets or the capability matrix that you have in your head and what you feel that you can deliver to the team or deliver to a contract, make sure you complement each other and have a little bit of integrity and trust.
And how did you find out, I'm assuming you went to PTAC, or did you leverage any of the to get your SAMs set up and cage codes and all that stuff? And did you leverage them at all, or how did you do that stuff?
Well, going to SAM.gov, I'm going to tell you one thing. Engage in that process early.
Okay.
Because, you know, you can put yourself in as an 8A. That might be a little bit longer of a pull to get into that pool.
Right.
But start off, as if you're a veteran known, or if you're a woman known, or if you're a disabled veteran known, that's probably the quickest button to push. And then from there, it always helps to have another company who has done it and right. had the lessons learned.
A mentor.
Yeah. So,
and so who is your mentor, can you say?
Right now, it's not official, so okay. I want to keep that a little bit close hold.
Okay.
But I am working on a mentor protege.
Okay.
I've put them together on the other side when I was the mentor.
Right.
And I took on a protege, or in this case, a JV.
Right.
But you have to, I think, to be, I guess, to be long-lasting or to have some longevity in this fight, you want to choose your mentors wisely and also choose your partners wisely, like right. I was saying before.
Right, right. Yeah, it's I think it's a little scary for a lot of folks, you know, mm-hmm. and where to go, how to go. So we partner quite a bit with PTAC. If somebody says, hey, I want to start a company, I'm like, go to PTAC. Sure. If you want to start a commercial company, go see the Small Business Development Center.
Yep.
If you want, and even if you're a government contractor, you might want to go see them too. They offer a lot of resources just about running a business, how to do your e-commerce, how to do your yep. marketing, all that kind of stuff. And then I sent them to the Procurement Technical Assistance Center, PTAC. Mm-hmm. They're all over the state. They're all over every state. And they can help you become a government contractor. And it doesn't have to be for the Department of Defense. It can be whomever, you know.
Exactly.
It can be state, local, federal government.
I think a lot of people underestimate the power of what a small business office can do right. for you. The connections, kind of partner you with other like companies, whether it be like in solution-based skill set, size, or even the passion.
Right.
Where do you want to apply yourself in this right. space industry?
Well, and that's the relationship with us, the smalls, with them mm-hmm. is we say, go see them first. Once you get all your administration fixed and get that in place, then come back to the smalls and we'll help you plug into the network.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we met, right, is yep. get out there and network.
Absolutely.
Speaking of that, we are going to have an event. I don't think this will be up on time, but next week in Denver. And then we're June 8th. We are down in Pueblo.
Oh, nice.
At the Water Tower place, so look for notification of that.
Okay.
Anything else you want to say to our listening audience?
Yeah, for the small audience, also we talked a little bit about lessons learned in how to go about starting your company.
Right.
Delegation is one of those things that probably
it's hard to do.
It's hard to do. It's
I'm guilty.
I could say I'm guilty too, but. But that's knowing your team, though.
Yeah.
You know, you have to understand the people you're bringing onto your team.
Yeah.
Most of these folks that are on Giuseppe, I've shared a foxhole with or been on the ops floor with them.
Right.
Or worked them in some capacity in a previous employment. So the trust factor is going to be high. I know that if I'm out 2 or 3 days a week or if I'm on travel, like I'm going to Huntsville on Monday, they have my back, and
right.
you have to have an extension of your trust to them and understand where their strengths are and their weaknesses. But also as a good leader, I think it's also a good attribute to have is you want to try to squeeze, I guess you say, understand their potential and capitalize on that.
Yeah.
In other words,
Let them run a little bit.
Let them run, yeah. And don't, you know, don't be so quick to lay down the law if something didn't work out according to
like
plan.
Like you said, you want to fail fast, but learn from it and move on.
Exactly. And so that's been, that's probably the last 2-3 months have been really seeing some growth with Giuseppe. So we keep on going.
Well, so how do folks get a hold of you? I got your web. No, actually, it doesn't have the website on here. Oh.
Yep.
How did they get a hold of you?
So it's they can get a hold of me through the website. It's GiuseppeSpace.space.
Okay.
And that's another thing. Having just some distinction for if you're starting a small company.
Right.
The space domain is up and coming. A lot of people don't have that. So they're going to be moving from
the .com or EDU,
yep,
space.
Space is
nice.
Actually the domain name. So
nice.
I encourage people to go out there and try to go to, was it GoDaddy.com?
Yes.
And make something that is rememberable. So,
and the domains aren't very expensive either.
No, it's probably like about $4 a month.
Yeah.
And then that's with your protections. So
before, Giuseppe Space is G-I-U... SEPPE.
Correct. And so I'm JD at GiuseppeSpace.com.
Okay.
Because that's a little bit easier for the email.
Yes.
They're not accepting of the space.
Well, I wrote down, just so you know, I wrote down Giuseppe wrong earlier. I'm like, how do you spell it? So it's GiuseppePPE.
Correct.
GiuseppeSpace.space.
Yes, correct.
Yeah, so reach out to JD if you're looking for a potential partner in the space industry, whether it's systems engineering, civil space, anything international, consulting, and or have interest in his nonprofit, help out fifth grade, because I would agree with you. That is that. I think that would have been so cool if somebody had come to my classroom to talk this stuff. You know, it just would have been something.
Yeah.
I still remember I met, not Armstrong, Carpenter.
Okay.
He was an astronaut years and years ago. Mm-hmm. I was taking gymnastics. I was doing trampoline when I was a kid, like a little kid. And he came in and met with us. And I thought, you know, it was the coolest thing ever. Mm-hmm. So those are really cool moments to kind of learn about these things in space. And what
absolutely. Start early and just cultivate their passion and point them in the right direction and see where they go. There are the future. You know, we can't be doing this forever. It'd be nice if we could. But I realized that, you know, 5 years from now, I might need some new folks on the team.
Man. Yeah, you will.
Yeah.
The way the market's going.
Exactly. But yeah, into the small community out there, even if you just want to pick my brain, I'm here for you.
Yeah.
Our success or as a small is really everyone's success.
That's right. And that takes us back to the smalls. That's exactly what we're doing. Our success is your success. It's a win-win. We're always trying to help out. So thank you again, JD, for coming in today.
Hey, it's a pleasure
great
being here. Thank you for having me.
And we will meet everybody again online or in person in the next few weeks at a smalls event or other networking event, and we will see you soon. Have a good day.
Thanks for listening.
You've reached the end of another episode of the SmallsCast podcast. Connect with us at thesmalls.org. Don't forget to sign up to our newsletter to receive our free materials. See you at the next episode.
See you at the next episode.